So our guest speaker has been a pastor in the Philippines. He's a graduate of PBS College and also has a master's degree in counseling at Ateneo de Manila. I met him during the pastor's retreat at Cedar Springs couple of months ago. He is currently pastoring a church in Linwood, Washington. He's married to Jane, and they have two wonderful children. Can I just ask the family, Jane and the whole family, to please stand? Let's give them a welcome applause. Okay, Pastor Dudes, can you come here, and before you share to us God's word, I'm going to pray for you. Oh. Okay, will you join me as we pray for Pastor Dudes? Father, we thank you for this, for your servant. Lord, we pray that as you've brought us here this morning to Vancouver to share with us God's word, I pray that you will anoint his lips with your spirit. I pray that you will empower him. And I pray that you will speak to us. Lord, will you bring to life your word? We thank you for his willingness to preach your word in season and out of season. We thank you for this heart, for this man's heart. Bless us now with your words in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Benji. Thank you, Winnie, for inviting us. Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
It's so good to see you guys. I hope I'm not blocking it. Can you see it back there? Okay. I overheard somebody saying, is his name really Dudes? Well, actually, technically, no. My name is not Dudes. So let me give you a little bit of background about my name. When I was the third in the family, I was the youngest. And when both of my parents were making a decision what to name me, they could not make up a name until I was born, and they need to register, right? And so the registrar said, what's the name? And my dad said, Romualdo. Just like that, Romualdo. Without thinking, Romualdo. That's his name. I mean, he thought that the registrar was asking, what is your name? So anyway, that's my name, Romualdo. And my family on the mother's side doesn't like my dad. Well, simply because my mom doesn't like my dad. That's why they got separated. And so they said, we are not going to call you Romualdo, we are going to call you Baby, because you are the youngest in the family. So from then on, they called me Baby. And then when I was around, maybe I was going to elementary school, they changed my name, said, they are no longer Baby, so we're going to call you Bebo. So they called me Bebo. And then I went to Manila to study for college. And the first thing that they asked me, my classmates asked me, was, what is your name? I said, Bebo. And so they laughed just like you did. So, dude, you are not Bebo. You know what Bebo means? A hot babe. You know, sexy. Well, 20 years ago, I was sexy, but I was not a babe. And so they said, what's your real name? I said, Romualdo. I said, no, let's change your real name. Let's change your name. Let's call you Dudes. I said, why? Because you look like Edu Manzano. I said, no, not really. I don't look like Edu Manzano. I know. Dudes, right? I said, I look more like Lucky. You don't know who's Lucky. Anyway, so anyway, that's... And then when we came here 15 years ago, the church who petitioned us asked us, and they are mostly white, and said, so what is your name? I said, well, they call me Romualdo. And they could not pronounce my name. They could not pronounce my name. And so I said, how about you just call me Dudes? And said, hey, dude. Oh, cool, dude. I said, okay, don't worry about that. Now, when we applied for U.S. citizenship, I was told by the person who was interviewing me, by the immigration officer, said, you know what, you can change your name for free right now. I said, so is that really that stinky, you know, that name? I said, no, you can change your name. So I was wild. He said, I could change my name, right? For free, right now. And I'm going to be a U.S. citizen, and that's my new name. So I was thinking, okay, what's going to be my name? And so I asked my wife. They said, I can change my name, but you have to change your name. I said, what's your name? I said, Brad Pitt. And you have to change your name to Angelina Jolie. Of course, she doesn't like that idea. So it did not materialize. Okay, let's just go back to Romualdo. A few years ago, when marijuana was legalized in Washington State, that morning after the election, when we learned that it was legalized, I talked to my wife. I said, you know what? You really should have changed your name. Her name's Mary Jane. I said, you are legal now. Right? So that's basically how it, so it, you know, that's the name Dudes comes from. Let me ask you this question. What are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? You know, I never imagined in my life that there are some people who doesn't like spiders. There, arachnophobia, when it was shown in movie, I thought it was fake. It was like, excuse me? If you grew up in a province just like me, we were playing with spiders. Just like cockfighting, you know? And then when my daughter was 5 years old, she started seeing spiders and she started freaking out and said, that's the most beautiful creature we have in the house. And she just, even after now, the smallest spider, she would call her brother. And so, yeah. So there are people who are afraid of spiders. How many of you here are afraid of money? You don't want to touch money. You don't want to talk money. You don't like money. If you don't like money, just talk to me. If you're working, you don't like money, talk to me. We'll make a deal. But there are people who are chromatophobic. Who among you here are afraid of men? Well, there's probably some man haters. They're called androphobia. Right? Now, without looking to the person next to you, especially if that person is a woman, if that person is your wife, how many of you here are afraid of women? Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your wife. And it's called gynophobia. Do you know the fear of long words? You know. Yeah, of course, because you've seen my sermon. Fear of long words. You can read it. Hippopomonstrosis, crepidophobia. Well, if that is the word, I'm really going to be afraid of words, right? Now, there are three common responses to fear. We have the fight, flight, and freeze. Whenever something scary comes to our lives, we either fight, right? Or let's put an example, practical example. If there is a bear, you could probably fight the bear. If there is trouble along your way, you are going to fight with that, whatever that trouble is, whatever storm you have in your life. You have this instinct of to fight. Another instinct is to flight or to go away or to run. Now, I was told that you cannot really outrun a bear. So it's either you fight the bear, that's it. And then the third one is freeze. You know, when trouble comes, you just freeze. You don't know what to do. When a bear is coming your way, you just go and hoping that the bear would run away. So fight, flight, and freeze. And that's the common thing, the common response. And they're not so bad, not all bad, but there are times that you need to fight. There are times that you need to fly away and to run away. And there are times that you need to freeze. You know Job, right? Job, very wealthy, very blessed, very righteous man, and then suddenly his life just went to a wreck. Okay. His kids were killed, servants gone away, and all his wealth, his buildings gone. And his wife said, Job, you'd better die. I mean, the best advice ever. Job cursed God and died. That's it. That's all you have to do. Curse God and die. Now, Job was a righteous man, loved by God. Loved by God. Right? But you know that Job has this problem, actually. And probably this is common problem to some of us. Job said in Job chapter 3, verse 25, what I feared has come upon me. He was talking about the trials, the storm that he was going through, the death of his 10 children, the loss of his business, and his wife, and the bones all over his body. And he said, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. Now, if you look at it, you would probably say, well, there's nothing wrong about it, actually. But if you are going to look back, meaning that when life was okay, his 10 children are still alive, he was so wealthy, all he was thinking was, a tragedy is going to come. The tragedy is going to come. My children's gonna die. And that is why he would offer almost every day, he would offer sacrifices for his children, because he was thinking, my family is gonna be a wreck. And all of these problems. And so he was not actually enjoying the blessings of God at that very day before the tragic event happened in his life. He said, what I feared has come. He's been fearing about it. You know, the thing about this, many of us has been blessed by God. Amen? And we are actually enjoying the blessing now, but we are not enjoying it. We are not feeling it. We are not tasting the goodness of God because we are thinking what would happen tomorrow. Oh no, somebody's going to get sick tomorrow. Oh, I might have cancer. Oh, I might get laid off from work. We are thinking about tomorrow. And that is why Jesus said, you know, let tomorrow worry about itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right? Don't worry about tomorrow. And the same thing is happening to some of us here. There are some people that I know who think that they have the same symptoms as others. We call this psychosomatic symptoms. Do you know that one, psychosomatic symptoms? When people would say, oh, I have this pain on my back. And then he would say, you know what, I have that pain too. There was this small group study going on, and there was this member of that small group. She was sharing, she's an ovarian cancer survivor. And so she was sharing the goodness of God and how God healed her. And the symptom before that, how she learned that she's got the cancer. And one of the members of the small group was just so antsy and was just sweating all over and was so nervous. And so that person was asked, why are you so nervous? And then that person said, well, I think I have ovarian cancer too. And the person who asked said, you can't have ovarian cancer, dude. You're a man. But you know, and this guy said, but you know, sometimes when I go to the bathroom, there's blood. Of course you have a hemorrhoid. That's not cancer. And some people are like that. When people would share about their aches and pains, some other people would say, I think I have that too. By the psychosomatic symptoms. And Job had this problem. He said, instead of enjoying life now, he's so worried about tomorrow. He's so worried about tomorrow. There was this story about a husband and wife, and they've been married for 30 years. And the first day of their marriage, they live in a two-story house. And the first day of their marriage, the wife would tell the husband, hey, honey, I could hear something downstairs. Can you check? There might be a burglar. And so he would go downstairs and check. It was just a cat. And then the following day, it's the same thing. It was just a dog. The following day, it was the same thing. Okay, it was the neighbor opening their gate. For 30 years, it was like that. 30 years that they've been married. And one day, there was a burglar who got into their house. And so he checked, of course. The husband would go and check, right? Check downstairs, and there was a burglar with a gun. And the burglar, you know, pointed the gun on the husband and said, you have to give me all your jewelry, all your valuables, and I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to hurt anybody in the house. And so he did. He complied. He took all the jewelries, the monies and everything, and gave it to the burglar. And then The burglar said, okay, I've got to go. I made promise I'm not going to hurt you. And so the burglar was about to leave. He was at the door, and the husband said, hey, hold on. Said, what? You need to come see my wife. Why? Because she was expecting you for 30 years. That's a good one. And many people are like that, right? We are. Job was like that. He was expecting that something bad is going to happen in his family. So he was not enjoying his wealth, his blessings, and everything on that very day before that. Let me give you the big idea. The big idea is this. God never promised you a trouble-free life. He never promised anybody a trouble-free life while we are still on earth. Not in this broken world. There's a trouble-free life in heaven, but not now. Instead, what he promises, he will be with you in times of trouble. Amen? When trouble comes, it will come, but when it comes, God himself said, and I want you to read it with me aloud together. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Together? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. Let's start with this very encouraging promise of God. He said, do not fear, do not be dismayed, do not be discouraged, for I am with you. Who is with you? God said he is with you. Now, every time one of my children would have a bad dream or would have nightmare, they would come into our room and they would wake me up and they would say, Dad, and I know already if that would happen. Dad, I said, what? Can you sleep with me? So you have bad dreams again. I said, yeah. Then I would go to their room and sleep with them. As soon as they would lay their back on the bed and I am there, they would just doze off, fall asleep right away. I snore loud, but they like it because it's like music to their ears. My snore to them would tell them that my dad is with me. Now, does my presence take away the nightmares? No. But the thought that even if I am having bad dreams right now, but my dad is with me, I am safe. For kids, they have that idea. My dad is with me. I had nightmares, but who cares? He will protect me. And the same thing when God said, for I am with you. And that is a promise of God, for I am with you. Now, David reminds us in Psalm 23, verse 4, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For you are with me. And if we are going to put that in our context, we could say that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of being alone, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of abandonment and nobody likes me anymore, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the process of divorce, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the financial trouble, I don't care if I'm going to be laid off. Well, you care. But, you know, because God is with me, He will help me, He will provide for me. Even though I walk through the valley of the debilitating pain of loss of someone that I love, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of being evicted from our apartment, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of going through the emergency room because of my child very, very sick and very, very ill, I will fear no evil because God is with me, and that God will be with my child. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the ICU room, of the MRI, of the CT scan, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of cancer, I will fear no evil because God is with me. Amen?
even though I walk through the valley of anything that I am most afraid of, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. And God, and Paul said, if God is with you, then who will be against you? Nobody. Nobody will be against you. The next point is not a promise, but it is a declaration of God. He said, not only that I will be with you, but I am your God. Isaiah was saying, I am your God. This God is your God. I am your God. Who is this God? To all creation, he's the creator of heaven and earth, of visible and invisible. He was the one who created you. To Abraham, he was the God who gave him a promise that he will become a father of all nations in spite of being married to a barren wife. To Moses, he was the I Am who talked to him in the burning bush. To the Israelites, he was the one who freed them from slavery in Egypt and the one who parted the Red Sea so that they can walk on the dry land. To King David, he was the rock, his refuge in times of trouble. To the Apostle John, he said, this God is this God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and He was God. Who is this God? Jesus. Jesus is this God. He's the Word. To me, he was the one who took care of me and my two other siblings. When my mother was murdered when I was 12 years old. We live in the South. We live in Mindanao. And my mom that time, she has a very good business going on. And she was kidnapped. My mom was a single mom. And there were three of us. I was 12. The eldest was 15. Next was 14. And I was 12. All high schoolers. And she's a single mom. And she was raising us. She was kidnapped, but she was also killed. She was murdered. And the question to us was, how are we going to live without our mom? How are we going to survive? How are we going to go to school? How are we going to finish school? And who is this God that my mom worships? I mean, she goes to church, and she is worshiping a certain God that we don't know the name, because we were just kids and we don't go with her. But who is this God that my mom worships? And you know what? This God that my mom worships was the same God who made my eldest brother a pastor and me a pastor. And this is the same God who made our middle brother an engineer. Nobody was raising us. I thought she was doing a good job being a single mom. But when she died, when she was murdered, it's like the world just crumbled down. Who is going to send us to school? Who is going to provide for us? And do you know who? My mom's God. Who is now my God? And the God that I worship. Who is now your God? Our God. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. He is that God who made a promise that I will be with you. He said, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because I will be with you. And yes, I am. My name is I Am. I am God. I am the only living God. I am the only God that people ought to worship. Amen? And He is your God too. This is the beauty of that one. And then the third point that I want to share to you is this. God said, not only that I am your God and I will be with you, but also I will strengthen you. You know what? Fear is debilitating. It's exhausting. It's tiring. Whenever you're afraid of something, afraid of tomorrow, afraid of what would happen in the future, it's just so draining. And for you who's been afraid for your whole life, thinking about your monthly bills, thinking about your mortgage, thinking about your rent, thinking about insurance, thinking about your declining health, thinking about your unstable job, your indefinite source of finances, you're thinking about your rocky relationship, thinking about the future of your children. You must be very tired right now, right? This is what we call the cumulative effect of stress. If you have been having stress since you were young, I don't know how old you were when you started having stress, or maybe when you're having stress about your husband, about your wife, or about your family, about your finances, at the age of 25 and you are already 50 years old, imagine that the cumulative effect of stress for 25 years. That would affect your body. That would kill you later on. And it's tiring. And God said, you know, child, I know you're tired. I know you're out already. You're drained. And I am here to strengthen you. I am here to strengthen you. And this promise of strength is not for those who choose to live in fear. It is only for those who choose to face and fight their fears with God alongside them. Amen. If you're going to be with me, God said, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. This is what Paul said. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. He was talking about that when he experienced a lot of shipwrecks. He was stoned. He was not stoned like marijuana stone. Okay, he's stoned, I mean rock. Okay? Not stoned like, okay. So he was stoned. He was flogged. He went through a lot. He was abandoned by his friends. And he was feeling weak emotionally and physically, and said, in my weakness, God's strength is what? Is enough. Because of his grace. Because of his grace. So the Lord stood by me when I was in trial, when I was inside the jail, when my friends abandoned me, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, and encouraged me. Not only that God will strengthen you when you decide to face and fight your fear, but he also promised to help you. He said, I will help you. Help you with what? Help you to face your battles in life. Help you to face whatever troubles, whatever storms or hurricanes you are facing right now. Remember this. The battle is not yours, literally. It's God's. It's God's. And he will help you with that one. Don't fight it alone. Because God would always tell you, child, don't take it just by yourself. It's not your battle. It's my fight. I'll fight with you. I will fight with you. And sometimes he would fight with us, but he would help us by giving us unexpected help. He would give us wisdom about the trouble that we are going through, and by giving us unexpected sources of help. When we were new here, I think our child was less than 2 years old, and we were living in an apartment. And our first few months and years in our church, the finances was on the red. And we have this philosophy, it is just between me and my wife, that we are not going to tell anybody about our problem, right? And it's just between me and my wife. And there was a time when we only have 50 cents left, that my daughter wanted to go to McDonald's, that I cannot buy her any burger at McDonald's. And my wife would say, hon, we don't have anything. Can we buy milk? I said, we only have 2 quarters. And so we prayed and said, Lord, you brought us here. We had a good life back in the Philippines. You brought us here. We have 50 cents. My daughter wants to go to McDonald's. We can't go to McDonald's. She needs milk. We can't buy milk. And we were praying. Somebody knocked at the door. We did not tell anybody. but somebody knocked at her door with a grocery. And with teriyaki chicken. Cool. And still we did not tell anything to them. There was a couple. We did not tell anything to them. After dinner, we thanked them. They gave us grocery. We were so grateful for the blessing. And before they left, they handed us another $50. Isn't that amazing? We only have 50 cents. They left giving us $50. And then the following day, there's another couple who gave us something. And when God says, I will help you, He will send angels at your door. And it could be human angels or it could be spiritual angels that will help you. Amen? The author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13, this is what he said, the Lord is my helper. Why should I fear? What the heck should I fear for? Right? Now, here's the best part about this passage. When you are in a scary situation and feels abandoned and afraid, God said, don't be afraid, because not only that I am with you, not only that I am your God, not only that I will strengthen you and help you, but I will also hold your hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now I want to call my son, and we'll do some illustration. I'm just going to show you. He said, God will uphold us with His righteous right hand. Now, the word uphold means to hold or to grasp. Well, the idea is actually similar to means undergird. The righteous right hand of God undergirds us. This is what the word undergird means. When you are tired, so much trouble in your life already, the word undergird is like this. He said, with my right hand, I will uphold you. I will undergird you because you are so tired and exhausted with your problems. You feel like you want to faint, right? And God says, I will undergird you. I will hold you like that, okay? I will hold you like that. When you are about to fall, I will hold you. I will put my right hand under you to undergird you. Now, here is the best part. Stay here for a while. Let's jump to verse 13. This is what God says. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear and I will help you. And I was thinking about this picture. Lord, it's confusing. You said you are going to undergird me with your right hand and then with your left hand you are going to hold my right hand. And I was trying to make a perfect picture of that in my mind. Lord, how is that going to happen? Well, probably what he's going to do is from undergirding me, from holding me like this, he is going to let go of me. And then he, with his left hand, he is going to hold my right hand. Right? And with his right hand, he's going to fight for me. And just like crossing the street, I would always hold my son's hand. But there's another picture that I want you to see. Because I still could not really see how it happens to undergird and holding my right hand. And this is how it looks like. When I am in trouble, when we are in the middle of the storm, he will undergird me. He will hold me like that. And then your right hand. And then he will hold my right hand with his left hand. And in times of troubles and sorrows and problems, we are going to dance. And our Father, and that is true, we are going to dance together. And the truth is this, as I look at this, I said, wow, Lord, what? This is the best picture ever that I have seen on this passage. The Father would dance with us in our midst of troubles and trials and fears of life. Amen? And the Father would say, you don't need to worry. Let's dance together. I will protect you. I will hold you because you are my child. And I made that promise. I am your God. And I made a promise that I will be with you. And so we are just going to dance in the midst of chaos of life. Amen. Amen? And that is the promise. And that is so cool about when God said, do not fear, do not be dismayed. God is with you. He said, I will be with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And we will dance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word of encouragement to us. Lord, I don't know how many of us here in this room this morning who are going through pains, who are going through loss, who are going through grief, who are going through different kinds of fears in life. Oh God, thank you. Because you made the promise that you, our God, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, will be with us, will strengthen us, will help us. And even how fearful the situation is, he will dance with us and will hold our hands to assure us of your presence. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.